Hello there. Welcome to our program on careers. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader, and you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today, I'd like to begin with an article which appeared in the Wall Street Journal on the 16th of June. Showing passion for your job is good for your career if you're a man. This article was written for the journal by Lisa Ward. A study found that for some women, enthusiasm can hurt them rather than help them. It's practically a given in the business world that to be passionate about your job is a good thing for your career. But a recent study suggested that while this might be true for men, it isn't necessarily for women. In fact, the study suggested perceptions that a woman is passionate about her job can hurt her career prospects. How strongly someone feels about his or her work is often something that a company looks at when gauging an employee's future. Betting on a person based on whether or not they are passionate about their work makes sense, said John Jakimowicz, an assistant professor at Harvard Business School and co-author of the study, but the application in real life may not be as straightforward as it might seem. Jakimowicz and his colleagues divided their research into two parts. First, they studied pre-existing employee evaluation records at a global engineering firm and found, among other things, that for men who were passionate about their work, they were twice as likely to be designated for the high potential program as the women who were passionate. Jakimowicz conceded that this might not be the case at every company. Indeed, at the engineering firm, he and his colleagues found that the effect was evident among employees who were borderline candidates for high-potential leadership programs, meaning that their performance reviews put them at the bottom of the top quintile. But for employees with the highest ratings, gender appeared to have no effect on whether passion for one's work amounted to a plus or a minus. To more fully understand the phenomenon, Jakimowicz and his colleagues next designed an experiment in which four actors, two men and two women, portrayed employees talking about their work, each in a separate video. One of the men spoke about his work with passion and gestured with his hands, while the other spoke less passionately and gesticulated less. The same was true for the women. One was passionate about her work and the other less so. The script for the passionate employees contained two extra lines that emphasized that passion. Some 1,400 experiment participants then were assigned to watch a video and to rate the employee actors on things such as diligence, passion, the appropriateness of their delivery, and whether or not they should be enrolled in a high-potential management training program. The authors found that the man who showed passion for his work was about 10% more likely to be designated as high-potential compared with the woman who showed passion for her work. The researchers hypothesized that the act of expressing emotion about their jobs could hurt women because it feeds into gender stereotypes. Women tend to be stereotyped as being overly emotional, Jakimowicz says, when the woman in the video talked about being passionate about her job. He says she might have come across as too intense. Participants were more likely to see her emotions as inappropriate for the workplace compared with those of the other woman and the male actors. Participants also saw the passionate man as more hardworking than the less passionate man, but the same did not hold true in comparisons of the two women. Jakimowicz thinks, and the survey suggests, that is because women are already assumed to be hard workers or diligent, and passion had little bearing on that assumption. Managers need to be carefully considered how they evaluate passion, he says. Otherwise, the metric could provide men a boost that their female partners cannot access, contributing to workplace gender inequality, especially at the top. The next article that I would like to read for you today comes from the Wall Street Journal of December 31st. Pink slips push many managers to rethink their careers. This article was written for the journal by Vanessa Furmans. Corporate America is on a mission to thin its management ranks in pursuit of greater efficiency. The purge is pushing workers on all levels to rethink their career paths and the traditional way to better pay and status. United Parcel Service and Citigroup both said that they have cut thousands of supervisor jobs since last year. Amazon Chief Executive Andy Jassy is aiming to increase the ratio of workers to managers. Google CEO Sundar Pichai told staff this month that the company had culled managerial roles by 10% in its cost-cutting drive. In all, U.S. public companies have cut their middle manager heads counts by about 6% since the peak of their pandemic hiring sprees, according to a new analysis of more than 20 million white-collar workers by employment data provider Live Data Technologies. Senior executives whose ranks have shrunk nearly 5% since the end of 2021 have not fared much better. With fewer higher-level jobs to move up into, aspiring managers are struggling to get promoted, and former bosses have shifted to non-supervisory positions, sometimes not by choice. Others are moving into new industries altogether to keep a foothold on the management ladder. Companies, meanwhile, are wrestling today with how to motivate workers who feel stuck. Veteran bosses looking for work said the market is flooded with other managers. Among them, James Riggle, 46 years old, said it is tough to get his resume noticed by job applicant tracking algorithms. "The recruiters aren't even having conversations with me," said Riggle, who was laid off earlier this year after 15 years at Citi, most of them as a manager in operations such as mortgages, settlement services, and foreclosures. Early on in his job search, he did land an interview only to learn that the job paid $40,000 less than what he had earned at Citi. The pay was so far off the mark for him that he withdrew. Now, months later, he has spread his search to other sectors and roles and said he would probably take the lower paying job if it came up again. "That's money out of my family's pocket," said Riggle, who lives in O'Fallon, Missouri. Managers and their outsized paychecks have long been a favorite fall guy after cycles of corporate bloat. This time around, companies have collapsed their hierarchies with remarkable speed. Meta cut multiple tiers last year as it eliminated thousands of jobs and asked some managers to move to non-supervisory roles. Citi, which announced its restructuring in September of 2023, trimmed its management layers to 8 from 13 by March. "That means much, much faster decision-making for us," Citi Chief Financial Officer Mark Mason told investors in the spring. The trimming has made one of the toughest corporate jobs harder. Managers oversee nearly three times as many people today as they did in 2017, according to data from research and advisory firm Gartner. About 30% of employees out there report having bosses who are too stressed to support them at work, according to LinkedIn's latest Workforce Confidence Survey. Some of the biggest cuts have been in human resources departments, where headcounts are down by more than 6% from 2022, the Live Data Technologies analysis shows. Rachel Cargas, a former talent acquisition director who lost her job last year after her company she worked for was acquired, and she has since become a recruiting consultant. She has noticed how the dearth of more senior people in her field has worsened the job search process for candidates and HR staff alike. They don't have the senior leadership to mentor them and train them on how to have difficult conversations when they are rejecting candidates or negotiating compensation, giving feedback, the 50-year-old Karga said. The artificial intelligence wrinkle. Growing use of generative artificial intelligence means some management layers might never come back, said Colin Montgomery, who is 37, who left his role at Meta as a product marketing team leader in 2021 in order to co-found a marketing technology startup. AI tools could handle routine tasks such as data sharing and managing workflow, reducing the need for managers. Over time, Montgomery said, artificial intelligence could even change the way that people ascend in companies, given that one individual could be as productive as an entire team. Right now, you need to become a people manager to progress in your career at a big company, he said. Gartner predicts that over the next 2 years, one out of five companies will be using AI to flatten its organization and eliminate half of middle manager roles. Companies might avoid amassing management bureaucracies again if they charge bosses with leading people, not managing processes, said Kyle C. Murphy, who is a 54-year-old Los Angeles-based executive who has helped to build up several venture capital and private equity-funded companies. They are spending half of their time these days, or more, going through sales spreadsheets and data and everything else, he said. If you really want them to make a difference, you'd have to have them focus on developing and empowering their people to solve problems. Changing tracks. Some former managers are rediscovering the rewards of working as an individual contributor. After 8 years as a software engineering manager at data services company Pure Storage, Jeff Yun Nikolak sought out a career coach to help him figure out just how to become a director one day. The visualization exercises his coach asked him to do, though, made him realize that it was working directly with the technology, writing code that energized him. I was a good manager, but I don't think I ever super enjoyed the job. It felt like the sort of thing you should do to come up in your career, said the 43-year-old Jung Nikolak, who decided instead to shift to an engineering role at Pure Storage 2 months ago. His new career track lets him earn the same pay as before, with the potential, though, to advance as a technology guru rather than as a people manager. The next article that I would like to read for you today is from the Arizona Republic, the 22nd of June. The title of this article is Long Unemployment is a Sign of Distress. Recent college graduates join experienced jobless workers in limbo. The article was written for USA Today by Paul Davidson. When Jessica Chiburzor Muko graduated from college a year ago, she figured her degree in cybersecurity, one of the hottest fields out there, would serve her as a ticket to a near-certain job at a good salary. Then she ran into the brick wall known as the 2025 job market. After more than 3,000 applications, 5 interviews, and 0 job offers, her excitement has congealed into something closer to a beaten-down stupor. After you get your first 50 rejections, you're running to your mom crying, said Chiburzo Muko, 22, of Denton, Texas. Eventually, you become very numb to it. Chiburzor Muko is among the 1.7 million Americans out there who have been out of work 6 months or longer, the most in more than 2 years, classifying them as long-term unemployed, the Labor Department's April jobs report showed. Their growing ranks defy the common perception that the job market remains healthy despite the uncertainty spawned by President Donald Trump's sweeping import tariffs. People experiencing long-term joblessness these days now make up nearly a quarter of all unemployed workers. That is well below their 45% share during the depths of the Great Recession back in 2010 and 43% during the COVID-19 downturn in 2021. But it also marks a two-year high and exceeds the 20% of unemployed workers they comprised in early 2020, just before that health crisis. Economists say that's a concern because long spells of unemployment can affect the course of workers' careers, especially for recent college graduates and other new entrants into the labor market. I definitely think there's a stigma to being unemployed for long periods of time, said Brad Hirschbein, senior economist at the W.E. Upjohn Institute for Employment Research. It's unusual for so many people to be out of work for so long in a seemingly sturdy labor market. But forecasters largely attribute the rosy figures to businesses' continued reluctance to lay off workers following pandemic-related labor shortages from 2021 to 2023. And at the same time, companies have pulled back hiring. That trend began more than a year ago as sharp employee pay increases and high interest rates combined with flattening consumer demand to squeeze firms' profits. It intensified this year as Trump's tariffs threatened to reignite inflation, further narrow corporate profit margins, and possibly trigger a recession in the months ahead. The economy was going to slow regardless after a post-COVID-19 burst of demand, Hirschbein said. Tariffs made the problem worse, however. The 5.4 million hires in March was down from a peak of 6.8 million in November of 2021 and 5.8 million in late 2019, before the pandemic. The upshot of this, while not many people are losing their jobs, those who do are struggling to find new roles as they join a slowly widening river of unemployed job seekers who are vying against each other and employed Americans for a limited stock of vacancies. Getting back into employment after you've been unemployed is getting increasingly difficult, said Dante D'Antonio, an economist at Moody's Analytics. In May, the average number of application job hunters submitted on LinkedIn was 45% higher than the year-ago figure, the networking site says. Experienced jobless workers, meanwhile, are also struggling. In mid-May, 1 in 9/10 million Americans received ongoing unemployment benefits, indicating that they had been laid off the most since November 2021. While companies are replacing employees who do leave, they are not necessarily adding staff, said Brandy Britton, an executive director at Robert Half, a recruiting firm. Employers are definitely proceeding with caution amid the uncertainty sparked by trade conflicts. Unemployed job seekers broadly are paying the price, but the hiring chill is especially affecting new entrants to the labor force, as well as workers returning after leaving to care for a child or for other reasons, Hirschbein said. So far this year, the number of 20 to 24-year-olds who are long-term unemployed is up 32% compared to the same period in 2019, versus a 19% rise for similarly idle workers of all ages, Labor Department figures showed. During a period of limited hiring and pervasive uncertainty, many employers want people with a track record, Hirschbein said. Meanwhile, Chibuzor Muko, the May 2024 graduate, recently took a break from the job hunt. She got a part-time position as a nurse's note taker and is considering getting a master's in a new field, medicine. She said she frequently responds to job ads seeking entry-level candidates, but companies later revealed that they prefer that applicants have 3 to 5 years of experience. What really is entry level? She asked. I just graduated. Britton of Robert Half said many businesses today want someone with work experience at an entry-level salary as they try to conserve cash and minimize risk. And because of the cooling labor market, they generally can get what they want, she said, advising job candidates to be adaptive and flexible and drop their demands to work remotely or hybrid if necessary. Long-term unemployment can become a self-perpetuating cycle even for experienced workers, Hirschbein said. The dilemma, he said, is amplified for recent graduates who may take the first offer they receive and then find themselves overqualified for the job. It can have a long-term impact on the money you're able to earn later on and the companies you'll be able to work for, he said. D'Antonio downplayed the concern, saying that while that was a big worry during the Great Recession, today's job market is more resilient and should pick up swiftly after tariff-related uncertainties fade. The trade war, meanwhile, has been in near constant flux. An international trade court recently struck down most of Trump's reciprocal fees, but they remain in place while officials appeal the ruling. And Trump himself could adopt other legal strategies to impose tariffs, experts say. Nobody knows what to believe anymore, Hamilton said. Everyone's delaying. Everyone's waiting. The next article that I would like to read for you is from the Wall Street Journal, the 24th of June. This article is Don't Fall in Love with AI and Other Rules for Graduates. Congratulations, you've got your diploma. Now here's how to outsmart the bots taking your jobs, and more advice from Joanna Stern's Union College commencement speech. This article was written for the journal by Joanna Stern. Who handed that old lady a mic, let her rant about the threats of AI, and then lead a sing-along to a 1970s classic? Hi, it's me. I'm the old lady. This year, Sunday, 19 years after my own graduation from Union College in Schenectady, New York, I stepped up to the lectern, looked out at 5,200 chairs filled with students, proud families, and friends, and delivered a speech. I talked about how the smartphone revolution transformed the world after I graduated, and how artificial intelligence is transforming it again. I didn't sugarcoat things. Artificial intelligence is coming for your jobs, especially the entry-level ones, class of 2025. Doctors, lawyers, accountants, financial advisors, consultants, software engineers, marketers, basically whatever you just told Bob you're planning to do with your degree. Maybe your parents can get a refund on your last 4 years, I suggested. Also, this same technology may reprogram how we relate, communicate, even how we date. Then came the pivot. After all my AI reporting for my columns, videos, and the book I'm currently writing, I've come to a few helpful conclusions about how we can lean into our humanity and live with the machines. Plus a lot of other skills we'll need in this world, I really did learn in college. I also studied my good friend Jason Gay's recent commencement speech at the University of Wisconsin. He didn't just talk in the abstract, he showed proof. Next commencement season, we're offering a WSJ columnist 2-for-1 deal. Steve Carroll has nothing on us. So here are my 5 rules for living and thriving in an AI-driven world. Whether you've been around long enough to have fixed your resume or are just now hitting the job market, these will help. First, be a creative human. To prove this point, I played a song made entirely by artificial intelligence. No humans involved except me, typing, create an indie folk song about graduating Union College in the age of AI into a music generated called Suno. It sounded impressive until you heard the lyrics. Clearly, the bot never pulled an all-nighter, made lifelong friends, or felt the sheer anxiety of not knowing what comes next. But you know who has? Humans. Specifically, one human, Ashley Sophia. A singer-songwriter and Union alum, Ashley wrote a song about graduation the old-fashioned way. My AI song had melody, but no soul, no nuance, no truth. When Ashley played, people teared up. What sets us apart from the artificial is our creativity and ability to relate to others. Lean into that at work and all parts of your life. Second, be a lifelong learner. Last week, I emailed Sam Altman, chief executive of OpenAI, for his advice to new grads. Get good at using AI tools, he said, and focus on learning skills such as adaptability, resilience, and figuring out what other people want in a rapidly changing world. Back in 2007, no one predicted that the iPhone would ever lead to jobs like app developer or social media manager, or TikTok creator with 5 million followers and a ring light. I reminded graduates, over the past 4 years, you've learned how to learn. You don't have to know exactly what's next. You just have to be willing to learn new skills and tools and to try new things. And number three, be a truth seeker. We live in a time of deep fakes, AI-generated video, misleading yet confident bots, and leaders who yell fake news anytime they don't like something. Whether it's an article, a chat box answer, or a TikTok, ask yourself, what's true here? Who benefits if I believe this? Think critically. Ask questions. Be the person who interrogates the information, not just scrolls past it. Read the news. Heck, pay for the news. Ignore the AI sludge. Fourth, be a hard worker. It's easy to assume we won't work as hard when AI can do the work for us, and companies are already trying to do more with less of us since AI agents don't complain or take coffee breaks. But don't be fooled. The jobs that are available out there will go to the people doing the real work. And rule number five, be a collaborator. The greatest lessons I learned in college weren't in the classroom, but in the newspaper office, working late with other editors, putting issues to bed, or in a dorm room, collaborating on group projects. AI can be a collaborator, sure, but your greatest teammates will still be other human beings. My best, most creative work, the stuff that has won awards for me and accolades, happened because of people who challenged, inspired, and supported me. But hey, that's what made people human. AI probably would have belted it out eventually, but it never would have felt it. That's all we have time for on our program on careers for today. I hope that you've enjoyed listening in and will enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you for listening in. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader, and you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona.